I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. That is God's will, that we win, that we are victorious. The Scripture says He always causes us to triumph. That is His will. And I know that you and I have had situations where we didn't triumph. We failed or came out the wrong way. But that doesn't prove that that was God's will because it happened that way. Everything that happens is not the preordained will of God. Now, I know some people believe that. Some people teach and preach that. But the Bible doesn't teach that. So if you believe the Bible, you need to understand that what we do or don't do has a big factor in whether God's will is done in our life or not. If you want the will of God, you have to do the will of God. And if you want the full, perfect will of God, you need to do the complete will of God. There's a connection. And part of that, our part of doing His will, is trusting Him. Listening to Him, believing Him, responding and obeying Him. And these are all different ways of describing faith. That's why we have Faith School. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with, come on into the class with us. Turn off everything else. Just a few minutes to do this. Turn off everything else. Give this, not just me, give the Word of God your full attention for a few minutes. Oh, you'll be so glad you did. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the direction for the day, the fresh manna, what we need for now, answers. Give us an opening of the eyes and ears and heart to discern and see and know what is true, what is right, what is good, what is you, what is your perfect will and plan. And we purpose to receive it and hold on to it as you give it to us and be doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you please go in the Scriptures to Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalm. We began a couple of weeks back on a new series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith for Provision. If this is your first time joining us, We have already covered hundreds of messages on faith prior to this. And if you go online, faithschool.org, it's all available there. No charge, no cost. And we talked about what faith is, why we should have faith, how faith comes, how to release faith. We talked for weeks and weeks about faith for healing. We talked about weeks and weeks about what unbelief is, and identifying it and overcoming it. And so there's a whole lot we've already covered, and I encourage you, go online, take advantage of that. You can do it as little or as much at a time as you like. And hearing what went before will help you get even more out of what we're talking about now, because one builds upon the other. So we're talking now about faith for provision. Is it God's will for us to have material provision? And the answer is absolutely yes. Yes, from the Scripture. In fact, we have begun, we're going to give you 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we know it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision all the time. You might say, well, that sounds like a far sweeping statement. Well, it's either true or it's not. And this is not, we're not talking about what you think or I think or some other teacher or pastor thinks. What does the Bible say? To us, the Bible is first place and final authority. Nothing else compares. It is not a book like other books. To me, to us. Now, if you don't give it that place, that'll be a problem. And you'll be limited and restricted. But I've made a study of this wonderful book. It's actually several books for decades now. And the closer I examine it and the more I scrutinize it and the more I study it, the more impressed with it I am. The more I realize this is divine. This is not of human origin. It came through human vessels. But this came from someone who sees the end from the beginning. This came from someone, as the scripture says, who created it. And so you must give the Word of God the first place over everything you hear, think, imagine, have experienced. And you got to make it the final authority that when the Word says this, no more discussion, no more debate. That's it. That's how it is. And you live your life based on that. Until you make that quality decision, you will be, like the scripture says, you'll waver. You'll be like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed about and carried about with every wind of teaching. And you'll be up and you'll be down and you'll get excited about this. And then you'll say, no, that's not it. And you can do that your whole life, just bouncing around from one thing to the other. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm telling you, there's a rock. Hallelujah. That you can build your life on. A rock that is immovable. A rock that is eternal. The rock. Hallelujah, of the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us and became our Savior. Go ahead and say out loud, class, if you believe it. I hold the Word.
I hold the Word.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
First place.
First place.
And final authority.
Final authority.
In my life.
In my life.
There is no other Word.
There is no other Word.
Equal to it.
Equal to it.
Or above it.
Or above it.
It is.
It is.
The guide of my life.
The guide of my life.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's the Bible said, reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of understanding and wisdom. You don't even begin to understand anything until you start showing respect to your Creator. And one of the greatest ways you do that is through what He said, everything that He said. So what did he say here in Psalm 23? This is a passage that's familiar to a lot of church-going people, and it is absolutely wonderful. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's all say it out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we... In previous lessons, we went over some other translations of this first verse because this same word here in the King James translated want, exact same word, is other place, several other places in the same King James translated lack, lack. So to say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack is absolutely accurate. Listen to how some other translations word it. The Young's Literal says, "Jehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack." The NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." The Holman says, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack." God's Word translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need." How about that?
Yeah.
You know, if the Bible says something, would it be all right for us to say it?
Yes.
Exactly like it says it?
Yes.
So go ahead and say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not be in lack.
I shall not be in lack.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
Now see, this is contrary to how a lot of church-going people believe. There's a lot of people, including preachers, that you hear them, they either say it or they imply that God could be in want and lack, that He's using it to teach you and to develop you, and that it's not always God's will that you have everything you need, that He's teaching you through your struggles. Well, that doesn't agree with this. The Lord's my shepherd. I am never in need. That's not, I'm occasionally in need, huh? Mm-hmm. Or even rarely in need. I am never in need. Reckon it'd be good to put that in your mouth and say, why are you never in need? Not because you're so pretty, not because you're so smart. Say it out loud, I am never in need.
I am never in need.
Because the Lord, is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. The basic English says, the Lord takes care of me as His sheep. I will not be without any good thing. Now, you know, Psalm 34 says that specifically again. Even the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He goes on to say in the easy to read translation, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. Well, isn't that keeping with the entire psalm? What's the idea of the psalm? The Lord's my shepherd. I'm His sheep, right? Well, if He's a good shepherd, I'm going to be taken care of. He's looking out for me. He's taking care of me. He goes on to say, He leads me, you know, beside the still waters. I lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table in front of me. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Does this sound like somebody's taking care of you?
Yes.
Yes. And because He's the Lord, my shepherd, I will not go without. I will not be in lack and in need. Now, this is very simple, and yet millions of church-going people don't believe this. They believe some other convoluted thing that, you know, you can expect to experience lack, sometimes destitution. And we don't know why God makes us go through all these things, but He must have some purpose in it. No. Everything that happens is not God. Everything that happens is not God's purpose and will trying to work something out. The enemy is doing things in this world. And part of this we studied was from John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Amplified says that you might have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. And in that 10th chapter, He's talking about the same thing. He says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. And so He's talking about if it's stealing from you, if it's killing you, if it's destroying you, Jesus plainly said, it's not me. It's not your good shepherd. Well, a good shepherd is not destroying the sheep.
That's right.
Right? A good shepherd is not stealing from the sheep. Good shepherd is taking care of the sheep. And that's what Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So when you say the Lord is my shepherd, that's what you're saying. Jesus is my good shepherd. And He takes good care of me, including materially. Right?
Yes.
In this world, you need some things.
Right.
And we have a shepherd who takes care of us. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we also went on. That was our first point. The Lord is my shepherd in our 30 reasons. Our second reason was God is good. Mm-hmm. We're sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision all the time, Because God is good. He's a good God, and this is something you got to get absolutely settled. Abundance is good.
Yeah. Amen.
Hmm? Yes. Lack is bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now see, you try to get become a deep thinker on us and go, well, now, it's not quite that simplistic, because God's ways are mysterious. And sometimes we think it's bad when it's actually good. And sometimes we think it's good, but it's actually bad. And we just don't really know. Well, then how in the world are we supposed to sort it and do what's good when we don't even know what good is? Right? And how can God reasonably expect us to avoid the bad and pursue the good when we're supposed to believe we can't tell the difference?
Right.
No. Oh, come on, somebody say no, no, no. Listen to this. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. So is it okay to call something good bad? No, he said, woe to them that do that. It's a serious offense to do that. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21 says, woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, that's how they're doing it. They're saying they're wiser than other people. That, a child looks at not having enough and goes, that's bad. I need more popsicles. Or, having plenty to eat, well, it might be a bad thing, these wise people say. No. They're wise in their own eyes, but they're really just confused.
Amen.
Because good has always been good,
yes,
and has never been bad,
right,
and never will be bad. Mm-hmm. Bad has always been bad, and is still bad and never will be good.
Right. Amen.
Hmm? Right. You got good, and you got bad,
yes,
and they don't get together, and they don't swap places, and they don't change into something else. God is good.
Yes.
I said God is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And abundance is good. Having plenty of what you need and even plenty of good things you desire. It's a good thing. There are people on the planet today, sadly, that will die for want of a decent meal. That's poverty. That's lack to the extreme. Starved to death because you hadn't had enough food in the past several days or weeks. Well, whether you're dying from not enough to eat or you don't have enough to pay your utilities, it's the same evil stuff. It's just different degrees of it. This is a full measure that'll kill you, and this is a lesser measure that's just inconvenient. But it doesn't become good because there's less of it. It's the same evil stuff. Come on, can you see this? And if it's bad when people are starving, well, it's bad when you're a little bit short to pay a bill. It's the same stuff. And so having enough, having plenty, has always been God's will. And He is a God of abundance. He is a God who will run your cup over. Do you believe it, class? He's a God of more than enough. Not even just enough. Certainly not less than enough. He is the God of abundance, and that's good. You don't have to, try to delve into it and hurt your head trying to figure some mystery out. Having plenty to eat is good. Period. Having plenty to pay your bills, good. Having something good, having clothes to wear, it's good. Having a place to stay, good. Right?
Right?
A way to get around, travel, good. All good. And don't come telling us it might be God's mysterious, can't understand plan to be broke, to come short. Lack is not the normal state for believers. So if you're experiencing lack, flags should be going up. You should be thinking, hold on now, this is not right. We're supposed to have what we need. We're supposed to have plenty, even surplus, right? So if we don't, if we're going in the hole, if we're coming behind, we should immediately start seeking God. Lord, what's wrong? What's going on here? Did we not do something you told us to do? Did we do something you didn't tell us to do? You should immediately start looking, checking, examining, because lack is not the normal state for believers. Abundance is.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Now, we've all made mistakes. We've all come short on some things, but that wasn't God's doing, and it wasn't God's plan. That had to do with us not listening, not seeking Him. A lot of times people just do things, and they never even ask the Lord. They just make their plans, and they do things, and then they're shocked that, you know, it didn't go amazingly good. And God's not obligated to support everything you decide to do. We should go to Him first. Inquire of Him, find out what He's telling us to do, and then when you do what He tells you to do, you don't even have to ask Him to bless it. His plans come pre-blessed. Huh? Why? It was His idea, right? You don't have to ask Him to support what came from Him and what He told you to do from Him. It comes with. So, don't call evil good, and don't call good evil. Let's go to Ephesians, if you would, now. Ephesians, the first chapter. We'll get into number 3 now today. Reasons from the Scripture why we are sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, there's actually more than one reason in this one verse here, but I just want to emphasize one part of it. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Who blessed us? Who has blessed us?
God.
The Father. Somebody say, the Father.
The Father.
Reason number 3, we're sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision because of the fatherhood of God. Because God is a Father and God is our Father. Go to the 3rd chapter of this same book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. 3:14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now you'll find multiple references to God being the Father and to Him being our Father. And here he uses the word the Father, and he uses the term the family. The Father and the whole family. And he mentions that part of the family is in heaven already, and part of the family is on the earth. Well, every believer that has died has departed and gone to be with Christ, but they're still part of the family. And those of us that are still alive on the earth, we're part of the family. And we need to understand that when it comes to the local church, when it comes to any kind of a real Christian ministry, it's not to be just some cold institution. We're not just a company. We're family. Well, somebody say family.
Family.
And we shouldn't just look at God as God, G-A-W-D, but as Father. He is the Almighty. But did you know in some religions, It's blasphemy to call God Father. And that's one thing that really marks Christianity differently. Because we're told that God is Father. He's the Father of spirits. We're spirit beings, and God created Adam and Eve. And so everybody that ever came from Adam and Eve are that of that offspring. There would have never been a spirit human being if God hadn't created Adam. But then especially so, those who are born again. Hallelujah. Born into the what? Family. Family. Somebody say, I'm part of the family.
I'm part of the family.
Now, what family is that? You know, my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., he used to say this sometimes. He said, some people are all time going on about their family tree, their family tree. He said, maybe never produced anything but a bunch of nuts. But, but the family of God, I am now born of God. Hallelujah. Everybody said out loud, I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
He is my very own Father.
He is my very own Father.
I am His very own child.
I am His very own child.
I have a part.
I have a part.
In the eternal family of God.
Family of God.
Oh, somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
In Romans 8, verse 14, Romans 8, 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, when the Bible says sons of God, it includes male and female, because in Christ there is not male or female. And he said, you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Dada, Daddy, or Dada, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Are you part of the family, dear one?
Yes.
Have you been born into the family?
Yes.
Are you an heir of God?
Yes.
And a joint heir with Jesus?
Yes.
Somebody say,
I am
born of God.
Born of God.
He's my Father.
He's my Father.
I'm His child forever. Hallelujah. Now, our time's up today, but we're going to get into this a whole lot more, and you're going to see that God is a good Father. He takes care of His family. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.